वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः. रीडिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 11, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Teachings to Vasudev, Text Number 5. Vipro Rajanya Vaishyauva Hare Prapta Padantikam Shrautena Janma श्रौतेन जन्मनातापि मुह्यन्त्याम्नाय वादिनः विप्रो राजन्य वैश्यौ वा हरे प्राप्ता पदान्तिकम् श्रौतेन जन्मनातापि मुह्यन्त्याम्नाय वादिनः. विप्रो राजन्य वैश्यौ वा हरे प्राप्ते पदान्तिकम् श्रौतेन जन्मनातापि मुह्यन्त्याम्नाय वादिनः विप्रो राजन्य वैश्यौ वा हरे श्रौतेन जन्मनातापि यन्त्याम्नाय वादिनः. वर्ड् टु वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन्. विप्रः द ब्राह्मणस् राजन्य वैश्यौ आफ् द रायल् आर्डर् अण्ड् द वैश्यस् वा आर् हरे आफ् द सुप्रीम् लार्ड् हरि Prapta, after being allowed to approach, Pada Antikam, near the lotus feet, by having received the second birth of Vedic initiation, Atha, materialistic philosophies. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. On the other hand, Brahmanas, members of the royal order, and Vaishyas, Even after being allowed to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Hari, by receiving the second birth of Vedic initiation, can become bewildered and adopt various materialistic philosophies. Purport. It is said that a little knowledge can be very dangerous. Those who are falsely proud of material social status and who thus neglect to perfect their worship of the personality of Godhead are condemned in this verse. Mukhyantyamnaya vadinaha. Becoming attracted by the sense gratification of high status within the varnashram social system, such persons become more attracted to illusory material philosophy than to the absolute truth, which is not material. Within the Vedic system, Brahmana, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, as mentioned in this verse, are all offered initiation into the Gayatri Mantra and are considered twice born, are highly civilized men. By studying Vedic literature, chanting Vedic mantras, executing ritualistic ceremonies and worshipping the spiritual master and the personality of God, such persons gradually come nearer to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. If one in such an exalted position becomes proud of his status or fascinated by the heavenly material enjoyment that is undoubtedly available to the followers of the Varnashram system, then one so bewildered returns to the illusory material platform of birth and death. From the highly posted demigods, even the highly posted demigods become victims of Maya's enticement, as described in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Mukhyanti Yat Surayaha. In order to justify their illusory desire to enjoy dead matter, such foolish persons condemn themselves by minimizing the necessity of worshipping the personality of Godhead, and falsely try to give equal importance to the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which awards heavenly sense gratification in exchange for the performance of prescribed ritualistic ceremonies. Such bogus rationalizers are described in the Gita, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadantya Vipashchitaha Veda Vadarata Partha Nanyat Astiti Vadinaha. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so on. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So then Srila Prabhupada's purport to the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that is being repeated here. I'll read a part of the purport. People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available and material opulence is very common. So Vedas recommend many sacrifices. Anyone desiring to go to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices. And those who are having poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of the Vedic wisdom. As fools are attached to the flowers of the poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, similarly unenlightened men are attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. The significant point in this verse is that such bewildered materialists who have become attracted to the materialistic portions of the Vedas desire to ignore the supreme proprietorship of the personality of Godhead, who the supreme enjoyer, and at the same time they wish to preserve their exalted status as followers of the Vedic principles. Such duplicitous persons take shelter of materialistic philosophers such as Jaimini, who deny the existence of God as a tangible principle, and therefore recommend material fruitive activities as the highest knowable truth. Such so-called Vedic philosophers account to little more than polished deities and are therefore understood to be Anishwara Vadina, or those who preach against the supremacy of the personality of God. Although foolish materialistic philosophers of Varnashram system desire to maintain their exalted status as the Aryans and at the same time neglect the personality of God, it is clearly stated, Sthanat Brashta Patantyadaha. Such persons inevitably fall from their position into a degraded condition of life. as confirmed here, they fall into the darkness of ignorance. Sometimes such pompous persons even present themselves as gurus. However, Srila Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that they are actually laghu or flimsy rather than guru or heavy with Vedic knowledge. It is one's ultimate duty to oneself and to the personality of Godhead to give up all materialistic activities characterized by karma and jnana and surrender fully at the lotus feet of the Lord. Only the most unfortunate person will consider that there is a higher pleasure than ecstatic surrender at the lotus feet of the personality of God. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Ashatarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today, we are continuing this conversation between the Nimi Maharaj and the Navayogendras. Nimi Maharaj has asked a question to Chamasa Rishi. And Chamasa Rishi is answering this question. Nimi Maharaj asked the question, all of you are most perfect in knowledge of the science of the self. Therefore, kindly explain to me the destination of those people who for most part of their life never worship the Supreme Lord and who are unable to quench their material desires and who are not in control of their own selves. So, Nimi Maharaj has asked a question about three types of people. Can you please describe about those people who never worship the Supreme Lord? That is the first type of person. Second is, who are not able to quench their material desires. And thirdly, who are not in control of their own selves. So Chamasa Rishi, in a series of answers, actually from this fifth verse, for the next, I think, five, six verses, is actually describing about the second type of person. I mean, those who are not able to quench their material desires. But in the present verse, in particular, what Chamasa Rishi is explaining is that, like, there are some people, because of maybe taking in a lower birth, in the Vedic culture, and the lower birth, they may not have access to they don't come in contact with the, because of taking birth in a particular situation or a particular this one, they may not have access to association to the certain exalted devotees. So in the previous verse, Chamasarishi told Nimi Maharaj, generally they don't associate with the materialistic people or those who are low-born, those who are coming from a certain background, but you must actually give your association to them, and in this way you must actually elevate them. In that way Chamasa Rishi spoke in the previous verse. But in this particular verse he says, there may be many people who may be actually born in a high family. They may be Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or Vaishya, they may be twice born. But even those people also, they can become bewildered and they may adopt different materialistic philosophies. They may be twice born, they are actually, they've got Brahman initiation, but still, they can also become bewildered by different sections of the Vedas, and they may actually adopt certain materialistic philosophies, and they may also never actually come close to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So, in this way, Chamasa Rishi is speaking this verse. So, Prabhupada actually, in this particular verse, the Prabhupada's disciples, they mentioned very beautiful verses. The main theme of this particular verse is that there are many people who become actually captivated by the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, they actually talk about fruitive activities, how you can perform different rituals and improve your comfortable situation in the material world. Elevate yourself to the heavenly planets and improve yourself in the material world. So that is the main theme of this particular purport and the verse. Let us say Prabhupada has appropriately quoted this verse from the Gita. There are many people who are attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas, and then they think these karmakanda rituals are the all in all, and promotion to the heaven, that is what is mainly described in the Vedas, and in this way they only get absorbed in those sections of the Vedas. So here Prabhupada's disciple mentioned that somebody may be born in a very high class family, but when a person becomes proud of one's status in the Varnashram system, then one becomes bewildered. And they mention another very beautiful point, that there are some people who very strictly follow the Vedic rituals, but they don't accept the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord. They don't accept the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord, but they want to be known as, oh, we are followers of the Vedas. So they externally they follow the Vedic rituals, but they don't accept the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord. And such people are called as Veda Vada Ratas. They are only followers of Vedas in name only. And such people are actually polished atheists. Polished atheists, as Saraswati Thakur mentions in the purport. So I'll discuss in this particular theme. So in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami, he is highlighting this particular offense to the holy name. One of the 10 offenses to the holy name is to consider the glories of bhakti, to consider the glories of holy name to be an exaggeration. So for that he mentions very beautiful point. In the story of King Nriga, which comes in the 10th canto, 64th chapter, King Nriga, when he became a lizard, and then by the touch of Krishna, when he was actually revived, when he again assumes his previous form, then at that time he starts speaking to Krishna. In one of the verses, King Nriga says to Krishna, I was actually devoted to you previously. He mentions that, because I was devoted to the Brahmanas, munificent in offering charity, and devoted to you, and anxious to obtain a direct vision of you, the memory of my past life has not been lost right up to the present moment. So in this particular verse, 10.64.25, where Nriga is mentioning that, I was actually devoted to the Brahmanas and I was also devoted to you, and I had a desire to actually take your darshan. Therefore, my memory is not lost. So after quoting this verse, Jiva Goswami mentions, if King Nriga was devoted to Krishna, how is it that he was actually taken to hell for giving, and he was awarded punishment by King by Yamaraj? Because in the Ajamil episode, the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, when there is a conversation between the Yamadutas and the Yamaraj, the conclusion of the episode, Yamaraj is giving the final instruction to the Yamadutas. Because Yamadutas were they heard from Vishnudutas about the glories of the holy name, but still they couldn't accept. How can these people stop us in actually taking away this sinful soul, Ajamil? They were not convinced. So they went to Yamaraj with a somewhat a rebellious mood. When we read that beginning of the chapter, they didn't even... usually when you go in front of a king master, you first glorify the person and then you put forward your questions. But because the Yamadutas were so disturbed, they immediately they start actually... asking their questions to Yamaraj. Till now we thought that you are our master. It seems that today somebody else is the master. Please clarify. So they were somewhat challenging, because their faith was challenged by the Vishnudutta stopping them. Then Yamaduta, Yamaraj also confirms the glories of bhakti and glories of holy name, and then he gives the final instruction to the Yamadutas by saying, he says that Jishvana bhakti bhagavad guna nama deyam chetas nachas chana smarati tat charanaravindam krishnayano namati yat chira ekadapi tan anayadva masato krita vishnu krityan. Now onwards, you bring only those people to the Yamaloka for punishment who have never chanted the holy name or the glories of the Lord even once. And those who have never remembered the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord even once. And those who have never offered obeisances to the Lord even once. And those who have never performed even one activity dedicating for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. You only bring those people who have never performed any of these activities even once. So Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse. Then he is trying to pose a question. In the case of Nriga, he is mentioning that I was devoted to you and I had a desire to see you. And then he is posing this verse from the sixth canto, where Yamaraj is saying that you bring only those people who have never worshipped the Lord even once. But if King Nriga, if he had worshipped Krishna, if he was devoted to Krishna, then how is it that Yamadutas took him to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj gave him punishment, Yamaraj gave him the punishment to become a lizard for many, many years. Did the Yamadutas forget the instruction of Yamaraj? Or did Yamaraj say that just for the sake of it? So Sanjeev Goswami is resolving that by saying, actually, why King Nriga was actually given, although he was devoted to the Lord, but why he was still given punishment by Yamaraj, why he was taken to hell was that, because he had committed the offense of considering the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration. So it was the result of that, as a result of that offense, he was actually, the reaction of becoming a lizard is because he had considered the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration. Because If he had considered the glories of bhakti to be actually true, then he would have put his maximum energy in the activities of bhakti. Whereas in the story of King Nriga, we see that King Nriga has actually invested his maximum energy in the karmakanda activities of giving charity to the brahmanas, giving cows in charity to the brahmanas. He was only immersed in the karmakanda activities. So that shows that he considered that he didn't give value to the statements in the Vedic scriptures which glorify the activities of bhakti. So because he considered those to be exaggeration, as a result of that offense, he actually became a lizard. So therefore, we have to understand that the glories of bhakti should never be considered as an exaggeration. Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, after describing the 64 angas of bhakti, he raises the question. Some people say that many of these statements which glorify the activities of bhakti, some of them can be actually exaggeration. Some people may say they are some little exaggerated statements. So Rupa Goswami says, actually, no, these statements are never an exaggeration. He says that sometimes it may appear that the results are overestimated, but actually there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate result by performing the different activities of bhakti. Although it is not possible for all. For example, in the case of the Kumaras, the four Kumaras, simply by smelling the tulsi leaf from the lotus feet of Vishnu, they immediately became devotees. But there are others may not have got that immediate results. But nevertheless, these statements are not overestimations. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and do not necessarily apply to all. But Jiva Goswami mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha, why they do not apply to all is that mainly because of the offenses. Otherwise, a single act of bhakti is sufficient for a person to attain perfection. Just like, suppose a particular leaf is there, or some wood is there. If the wood is actually wet, or if a dry leaf is there, the leaf is actually wet, then when you actually try to burn it, then you have to keep burning till they become dry. Once it becomes dry, then one matchstick is sufficient to light it. But till it becomes dry, you need to actually constantly keep on actually lighting fire in order to make it dry. So similarly, when a person is offenseless, then one act of bhakti is actually sufficient for a person to attain perfection. And because a person wants practice of bhakti is offensive, so therefore the shastras recommend, Jiva Goswami is mentioning, one should perform bhakti repeatedly. Repeatedly one should perform bhakti. When you repeatedly perform bhakti, so then we are trying to make it more and more that wet wood, more and more dry. And then once it becomes dry, then one actually act of bhakti is sufficient to blaze it into, put it into a big flame. So Jiva Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada is saying that these descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. So therefore, the point is that when the scriptures describe glories of bhakti, they are never actually exaggeration. Kuresh, or Kuratajwan, one of the Sri Vaishnava devotees, he mentions in one of his composition, he explains that when we find glorification of a devata, or when there is a glorification of a process other than bhakti in the scriptures, either the karma, jnana or yoga, you must understand that all these statements are always exaggerations. Because in the case of a devata, ultimately the qualities are coming from the Supreme Lord. Whenever a devata is glorified, it is always an exaggeration. Whenever some other process other than bhakti is glorified, it is always an exaggeration, because those processes cannot award one the benefit without the touch of bhakti. The demigods cannot award the results without being empowered by the Lord. And whenever you find glorifications of the Supreme Lord or the process of bhakti in the scriptures, it is always an understatement. It is always an understatement, because you can never glorify the Supreme Lord or bhakti enough. So therefore, that when we consider this particular offense of considering the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration, then we may not put our energy into bhakti, then we may put our energy into something else. In the case of King Driga, he invested his energy more into Karmakanda section of the Vedas, and that is what is actually being condemned in this particular verse and the purport. So what is this? Just a brief this thing about this Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So those people who are actually enamored by the Karmakanda section, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, they are basically following the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. In the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, and Mahaprabhu asked about what is the goal of life, and then Ramananda Rai, the first verse he spoke was that Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanya Tattosha Karanam. By performing the Varnashram duties, one can actually please the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and there is no other way to please the Lord. Mahaprabhu said, no, this is something external. He rejected that actually proposal. So when Mahaprabhu rejected this verse, he did not reject Varnashram as a lifestyle. What he rejected was that, Prabhupada is mentioning the purport, Mahaprabhu is rejecting a certain class of philosophers called as the Karma Mimamsakas, who are actually enamored by the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, who are only focused on the Varnashram duties. Because these Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they only, they feel, just the difference between Karma Mimamsa philosophy and the Vedanta philosophy. The Vedanta Sutra starts with the aphorism, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Because you have taken the human form of life, you have to inquire about the Brahman. But the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, their first aphorism is that, Atato Dharma Jigyasa. That means that you only inquire about the duty, or you only inquire about the dharmas or the rituals of this world. So Mahaprabhu, when he is rejecting this verse, is actually rejecting the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, as Prabhupada is mentioning the purport. And actually, this just a brief, in the case of the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they are only concerned about the ritualistic portion of the Vedas. But the Vedanta philosophy is giving more emphasis to the Upanishads, the non-material goal. So, just some brief understanding of Karma Mimamsa philosophy. In the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they only perform dharma in order to get artha, so that they can fulfill their kama. But they are never concerned about the moksha part. Perform dharma, artha and get kama. Again perform dharma, get artha and enjoy kama. Again perform dharma. So they are just only caught up in the dharma, artha, kama. They never inquire about the moksha. They say that there is nothing called as liberation. So in the Vedic scriptures, heaven and hell, both are described only as an intermediate result. They are never described as the final goal. But the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they make the heaven as the ultimate goal mentioned in the Vedas. Just like in a flower, in a tree, the intermediate result is the flower, and then comes the fruit. The ultimate result is the fruit. But the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they are attracted to the intermediate results. That is why they say they are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. They make the heaven as the ultimate this thing. And also, that is one of the aspect of Karma Mimamsa philosophers. And also, Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they only talk about, you just perform the rituals. By your effort, you can go to heaven. They only talk about the effort, endeavor of a person. They never talk about the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Vedanta philosophy talks about our endeavor and Lord's mercy. So in that sense, Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they are only partially correct. Because they only talk about our endeavor. You just put your endeavor to perform the Vedic rituals and you will go to heaven. You don't need to worship the devatas. You just perform the rituals as a matter of duty. Don't think of worshipping them. Don't think that you will get the results by their mercy. Just perform it as a duty and they are bound to give the results. So they say that there is no need of worshipping God. In fact, God will worship you if you simply do this good work, if you simply do these rituals. So that is the attitude of Karma Mamsa philosophers. And another aspect of Karma Mamsa philosophers is that Karma Mamsa philosophers, they are simply mundane moralists. They simply stick to the moral principles, and when a person only sticks to the moral principles, it will make a person proud. That's what is mentioned in the purport. They may be proud of the social status or the... When somebody only sticks to the moral principles, they become proud. And Prabhupada, in one conversation, he gives an example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. How he had that attitude, at least at that point, Prabhupada giving that example, that Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Krishna told him to actually speak a lie that, oh, Ashwatthama is killed, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, oh, how can I speak this lie? So he was attached to the morality. So in that sense, Prabhupada is saying, at that time he was contaminated with the Karma Mimamsa attitude. He was acting like a mundane moralist. And in a broader way, if you see, Karma Mimamsa is a particular attitude. Karma Mimamsa, this attitude can be present in the Karmis, Jnanis or in the Yogis. In the case of the Karmis, this attitude is present in the sense that they are only attached to the ritualistic portions of the ritualistic portion of the Vedas, but they never recognize the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord. And in the case of the Jnanis, they only study the laws of the material world. Prabhupada explains that the scientists, in the sense they resemble the Jnanis, they only study the laws of the material world, but they are not concerned about the law maker. The Jnanis, they are only concerned about the philosophical section of the Vedas, but they are never concerned about the Supreme Personality of God. And in the case of the Yogis also, this Karma Mimamsa attitude may come. They may be concerned only about the Yoga Asanas, but they are never concerned about the Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara. So, in that sense, it is an attitude. And also we find Karma Mimamsa philosophy, that Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they are not interested in the root of Krishna. They are only interested in watering the leaves and twigs of a tree. They are only interested in watering the leaves and twigs of a tree, but they are not interested in the root of the tree. And one of the, many times people may not know this term, Karma Mimamsa philosophy, but actually one of the famous philosophy in India, the workers worship, that is nothing but an outcome of Karma Mimamsa philosophy. If workers worship, then ass must be the greatest worshipper. Ass must be the greatest worshipper. So, another aspect of Karma Mimamsa, as I mentioned, that many of the modern motivational speakers, sometimes many motivational speakers, they say that in order to like enthuse a person, no, you can do it. The failure is a stepping stone to success. And they tell that, oh, how much ever you may fail, they give many examples, you can attain success. But when they emphasize only on the endeavor of the person, when they don't actually include the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they don't actually include the aspect of, oh, you also need the mercy of the Lord, then that is a Karma Mimamsa attitude. In that sense, many of the modern motivational thinkers who emphasize only on the endeavor of the person, who don't emphasize on the grace of the Supreme Lord, mercy of the Supreme Lord. So they actually fall under the category of Karma Mimamsa philosophers. In fact, the whole Damodar Leela, the two fingers too short represent, two fingers represent the endeavor of a person and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, that is what is being explained over here. And lastly, I just want to mention few points about, since today we are celebrating Sharad Purnima, because evening Sulna Radhana Swami Maharaj will be speaking. So one Vaishnava, he explains about, so the Sharad Purnima is the day where Krishna performed the Ras Leela pastimes of the Lord, Ras Leela pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan. So, one Vaishnava explains so beautifully, what is this Ras Leela? This Ras Leela is a tale of selflessness to the extreme. Ras Leela is a tale of selflessness to the extreme degree, but hidden in an exterior of selfish love. So that selfish love in which we are all involved and thus most eager to hear about is the context in which the ultimate in selflessness is couched. So in the material world, everyone is involved in selfish love. In fact, usually in the newspapers or magazines, whenever there is some extramarital affair or some premarital affair between some celebrities or some sports stars are different, so that becomes a prominent people want to eagerly read about those things. So generally people are eager to hear about some selfish love. But the selfish love in which we are all involved and most eager to hear about is the context in which the ultimate in selflessness is couched. So Ras Leela externally appears, externally the context in which the Ras Leela is performed, it appears to be a selfish thing. The gopis were married to different men, but they left their houses and then they went to actually meet Krishna in the middle of the night in the forest. It appears to be like an extremely selfish act. But actually, what is there in Ras Leela is nothing but a pure, unadulterated selflessness to the extreme degree. But the context in which the Leela took place was the context of selfishness, because in order to attract the conditioned souls, because the conditioned souls are attracted to only to something which is selfish. So in order to capture their mind, so the ultimate in selflessness is presented with in the context of selfishness. And one may wonder that what is the practical relevance of Ras Leela? What is the practical relevance of hearing of Ras Leela in the today's problems? There are so many problems individually in a family or maybe some depression or family or maybe social problems, environmental problems, so many national problems. If we see all these problems, if you go into the root cause of any of these problems which the world is facing, the root cause of all these problems is actually selfishness. If you go to the root, it will ultimately boil down to only one thing, that is selfishness. And the Phalastuti of Ras Leela is that Vikriditam Vrajavadubi Ridamcha Vishnu Shraddhan Vitonu Shuniyat Atavarna Yedya Bhaktim Param. What is the next verse? Hridroga Mash Apahinot Achirena Dira Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hridroga Mash Apahinot Achirena Dira. So when a person hears the Ras Leela pastime, of course from a pure soul, with faith, with a great faith, then Hridrogam, the heart's desire of lust, that will be vanquished. Heart's desire of lust means that the disease of selfishness, that will be eradicated by hearing Ras Leela. In that sense, the Ras Leela is very much relevant to all the problems of this world, because all the problems originate in selfishness, and the Phalastuti of Ras Leela is the selfishness is eradicated. And so just the last point, if we see in the Ras Leela, when all the gopis came to meet Krishna, and Krishna was there with the gopis, and then Krishna actually disappeared from the midst of the gopis. And then the gopis were frantically looking for Krishna, and they were searching for Krishna in the forest, and then they saw the two footprints of Krishna and another gopi, and then finally they meet Srimati Radharani. So there are different reasons which are explained by the acharyas why Krishna disappeared from the midst of the gopis. So Krishna explains to the gopis, why actually I disappeared from the midst of you is that because I wanted to inaugurate Rasa Leela. So he said, because for a Rasa Leela to take place, all you gopis should be in a united mood. Because Rasa Leela, in order for Rasa Leela to take place, all of you gopis should be in a united mood. But when you actually, initially, when you left your homes, when you came to the forest, so at that time, in your mind, what was there in your mind was that myself and Krishna. You are so absorbed in yourself and me, and there was no room for any third person to enter within that relationship. Because you are so much absorbed in yourself and myself, there was no room for any third person to enter within that relationship. But for Rasa Leela to take place, all of you should be in a common mood. So therefore, in order to unite yourself, in order to bring yourself to the common mood, in order to unite yourself, I disappeared from your midst. And when you actually, then when you became separated from me, according to the Rasa Shastras, when maybe in Sambhoga, a devotee, when he is in union with Krishna, is only thinking about his relationship with Krishna. But then, when the devotee is separated from Krishna, then all the devotees in Sambhoga, they become united. So Krishna actually disappeared from them in order to unite all the gopis. And then, of course, Krishna was there with Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna disappeared from Srimati Radharani also. And in order to unite Srimati, and then Srimati Radharani also with all the other gopis. Because Srimati Radharani also, she was thinking, oh, Krishna is paying, how can Krishna pay equal attention to all the gopis and to me? So Srimati Radharani became angry, so therefore Krishna went to be alone with Srimati Radharani. And then to unite Srimati Radharani with all the gopis, then Krishna disappeared from the midst of Srimati Radharani also. And then when all of them became united, then he actually performed Rasa Leela. So why I'm mentioning is that, so we have to understand the tattva behind Rasa Leela. So Rasa Leela is that pastime in which all the gopis were united and then Krishna performed pastimes when they were in a united mood. So therefore, so as Vishwaru Prabhu explained yesterday, so that is why whenever the Sankirtan or whenever devotees come together and actually come together in a united mood when they serve Krishna, in one sense, that is nothing but Rasa Leela. That is the tattva behind Rasa Leela. So therefore, the Harinam Sankirtan of the Lord Chaitanya, introduced by Lord Chaitanya, that is nothing but Rasa Leela. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, I think in many classes, you would say, oh, you dance in circles. In circle, so everyone is united. So it is not something sentimental. It is actually it gives a united picture, and then everyone is united, then that is actually nothing but Rasa Leela. So in that sense, and similarly, not only the Sankirtan, in any project or any service, when devotees unitedly perform a service for the pleasure of the Lord, so that is actually the tattva behind the Rasa Leela. So that is why Krishna disappeared from them in order to unite all the gopis so that he can perform the Rasa Leela. So with that, I think I will end the class because it is 9:20. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.